Take your Bibles and turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we are in our series, Christian Character Development, and looking at examples, Bible characters for our own development. And last week, we came to Galatians 5 and started a series within the series, I guess, considering what does Christian character actually look like in the life. And we're using and looking at Galatians 5:22 and following the fruits of the Spirit as a measure of what Christian character actually looks like. And I want to read, and we'd introduced this subject last week, and we're going to consider each one of these fruits of the Spirit individual and in order, and consider them for our own life. And the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. We're going to talk about love as a fruit of the Spirit and what it is, how it applies in our life. And love is divine concern for others. Love is divine concern for others. In this context, I want you to go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. I want you to note a few verses here with me. The Bible says in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't it interesting that we find in the context here of the fruit of the Spirit being love, back here in these verses, that the Bible says that the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, he says, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And then he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't it interesting that this biting and devouring one another is set in contrast to walking in the Spirit, and that love is the very first thing that is listed as a fruit of the Spirit? That word bite in verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, that word bite is a Greek word that means to wound the soul. It means to lacerate with reproach. So he says here, he's talking to the church at Galatia, and he says, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. But in contrast, if you wound the soul and lacerate with reproach, listen, it's a work of the flesh. He says, and devour, that's the Greek word katestheo. And it means to ruin by the infliction of injury. It means to consume the strength of body and mind by strong emotion. Listen, it carries with it the definition of discouraging other people, to wound their soul, to drain or consume the strength of body and mind by strong emotion. It's talking about discouraging others with words and actions. In contrast to that, fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is not a natural tendency of our flesh, but hate is. The devouring and the biting and the discouraging with words and wounding of the soul with words and action, that's a natural tendency of our flesh. Love is not a natural tendency. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, you can just hold your place here. Verse 19, the Bible says, we love Him, that's God, because He first loved us. The implication here is that we don't have it in ourselves. We love Him because He first loved us. Love is not a natural tendency of the flesh. Love is divine concern for others, not something that is self-generated. The Bible also tells us that God is love. God is love. So love begins with God. And there is no love outside of God. If we don't know Him, we do not love. Now, we could love, I suppose, with emotion as much as humanly possible. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, divine concern for others. And there is no love if we don't know Him. Basically, listen, we need to be saved. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to even begin to understand what genuine love is. Outside of God, who is love, we don't have any understanding. But when we're saved and then filled with the Holy Spirit of God, this produces love, but it's God's love, not our own. So in other words, because God is love, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, His love is demonstrated and communicated through us. It's not our own. And that's why love is a fruit of the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit produces in the life. And so we're going to talk about this fruit of the Spirit, love, tonight. First of all, consider with me love defined. The Hebrew definition of this word is to have affection for or to delight in. The Greek definition is affection for or benevolence in a general sense, to be pleased with, regard to, affection. And so we understand generally what that word means, but let me explain it. Love explained. Today's culture correlates love with lust or physical contact. That's the cultural understanding of love, but that is not how the Bible describes or defines love. Let's look to the Scriptures. Look with me in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Verse 8. The Bible says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." What are we understanding here? He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. According to the Scriptures, divine love or this kind of godly love is fulfilling the law. It's God's law concerning other people. All right, we following this? There's a fulfilling of God's law concerning other people. For example, go over to Exodus chapter 20. All right, so God has given us laws concerning other people, how we should relate, how we should live, how we should interact with other people. In Exodus 20, we know as the Ten Commandments or the law of God, but there are several. The first ones are related to God Himself, but then the rest are related to mankind. In verse 12, the Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." So here we find several commands or laws of God concerning other people. In Romans 13, 8 says, "He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law of God." In other words, if you have love for others, you're going to be keeping the law of God concerning them or toward them. You know, our thought should be, because I love you, I'm not going to bear false witness against you. I'm not going to say one thing to your face, and then when I'm behind your back, I'm not going to be telling lies about you because I love you. I'm not going to bear false witness. But because I love you, I'm not going to commit adultery in my mind or physically. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to covet what is yours. I'm not going to covet what you possess. I'm certainly not going to covet your wife. I'm going to obey God's law concerning mankind. It's the fulfilling of God's law towards others. Go back to Romans 13. Look at verse 10. We read verse 8, but look at verse 10. Romans 13, 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. So we can extend out the things that we just talked about. We can extend that out to all areas of how we interact and how we speak with one another. It's the fulfilling of the law of God. Love towards others, listen, love towards others is proven by keeping God's law concerning them. Love toward God is proven by keeping His commandments, of which loving one another is a commandment. Therefore, listen, keeping God's law towards others is actually saying, I love you, God. There's the foundation for loving one another. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. In verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. All right, so we prove our love toward God by keeping His commandments. Loving others is a command, and those commands are not grievous. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The fulfilling of the law of God towards others is a definition of what genuine, real, godly love is. By fulfilling, what's that? Matthew 22, verse 36, and through verse 40. By fulfilling God's law in how we treat others and how we love others, what are we doing? We're actually proving and demonstrating our love toward God. And this is the motivation and the key. But let's talk about love demonstrated. There are many examples in the scriptures. Some are worldly examples of a worldly type of love. For example, remember Amnon and what he did and how he treated his half-sister Tamar. Remember Samson and his lust for Delilah and that whole situation, how it played out in his life. Those are examples, bad examples, of a worldly type of love. But there are lots of other examples, good examples, that demonstrate God's love. For example, God is love, and God Himself is the perfect example of love. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The proof of God's love is that He gave His Son. He sacrificed His Son. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth or proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the ultimate proof of love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God himself is the perfect example. God set the example of love. And the thing that we find in common in all of those verses is sacrificial giving as the demonstration of genuine love. Remember, go to Luke chapter 7 with me. These are examples or demonstrations of God's love. Remember in the penitent woman who went into Simon's house when Simon invited Jesus to come in and eat with him. In Luke chapter 7, let's read some of these verses here. Look at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Now notice here, we're talking about love being demonstrated here. An example of God himself giving and sacrificing as the example of love. But note here in this, the demonstration, what this woman gave to Jesus, what she sacrificed. In verse 44, the Bible says here that Jesus said, "I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." This woman demonstrated her love by giving. And the things that she was giving were a demonstration of her very all. Sacrificing her very all to the Lord. That alabaster box was no cheap perfume. The tears of her face, the hairs of her head. But in contrast to that, note what Simon did not give. Jesus said, "Look, you didn't offer me any water for my feet when I came into your house. You didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't give me a kiss." Listen, Simon didn't even fulfill their own customs, let alone the law of God towards others. Their custom and their law was to offer the water for someone's feet. And Jesus pointedly contrasts Simon's neglect of even giving him water for his feet with this woman washing his feet with tears and wiping them with her hair, demonstrating giving of all she had. Listen, God set the example of love, and it's giving, and it's self-sacrifice. There are five individuals or kinds that the Bible specifically says we are to love. What is love? Well, it's divine concern for others, but it's sacrificial giving of self. That is what love is. And there are five individuals or kinds that the Bible specifically says we are to love. First of all, God Himself. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 5, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." That's all that you have. That's all that you are, to love the Lord. And what is love? It's sacrifice. It's giving. It's self-sacrifice. In Mark chapter 12, in Mark 12 and verse 30, the Bible says, if you're not there, I'll just go ahead and read it. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." So the Bible tells us specifically we are to love God. But the Bible also, and by the way, if love is sacrifice and love is giving and we're commanded to love the Lord, our God, with all that we are and all that we have, the question is, what might the Lord want us to give to Him? What might the Lord want us to give up for Him? The command is to give and to sacrifice and to love God and with all that we are. And whatever the Lord would demand or whatever the Lord would ask, it shouldn't matter if we love Him. Amen? Oh, we get so protective of our pet things. My convictions, or I don't have a conviction that way, Pastor. We get so protective of those things. We get so belligerent about those things. You know what? No one's going to tell me how I should dress. Whatever the Lord would ask of us or demand of us shouldn't matter, because love is sacrifice. Love is giving. Love is selflessness. We're commanded to love the Lord with all that we are and all that we have. Not only that, we're commanded to, in the Word of God, to love our neighbors. In Matthew 19, Matthew chapter 19, in verse 19, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And in Mark chapter 12, in verse 31, "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." So we're commanded in the Word of God to love God, to love our neighbors. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives." Colossians tells us, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." I always think that that's interesting, that the Bible never actually says for a woman to love her husband. I think there are some things that women are a whole lot better at than men are. Men, things that would come naturally for a wife. And the Bible says for men, listen, husbands, love your wife. Be self-sacrificing. Be giving. Love your wife, even as you would do for yourself. Not only that, but we're commanded to love our brethren. Love the brethren. In John 13, John chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." John chapter 15, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And we can read in several different places in the New Testament the command of God to have love for the brethren. And so we have God, we have our neighbors, we have our wives, we have brethren, but the Bible also says to love our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, in verse 44, no, I'm in Mark, Matthew chapter 5. Like, there's not 44 verses in Mark chapter 5. The Bible says here, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Boy, you think about something that's going to take the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Amen? To love those who don't like you. To love those who despitefully use you. To love those who hate you. Love. Give. Sacrifice. For those who won't love you back. You talk about something that takes the work of the Holy Spirit. See, these are the commands of Scripture. These five types of people that the Scriptures command us to love. How do we practice that? How does that play out in our life? And this is really where it all boils down to, the application. See, love, as we read in Galatians 5:22, is a fruit of the Spirit. Meaning, it's what the Holy Spirit produces in a life. And the idea that it carries is that we have this command in the Scriptures to love in these different areas, and we understand what love is, but without the Holy Spirit of God, listen, without yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, we are not able to do that because it's a fruit that the Spirit of God produces in our life. We can't really love like God does until we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control and filling. Then God, who is love Himself, will love through us, which enables us to love our enemies, which enables us to love those who don't like us, which enables us to continue to be, listen, long-suffering and kind and gentle and meek and all of those things that are necessary to those who don't like you, which enables us to have the right heart attitude towards other people. That's a big key. As we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, love will be shown by us toward God and toward our fellow man, a sacrificial giving of self kind of love. It means less and less selfishness in the life will be the result as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. How is that love practiced? Well, in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 18, John says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed. And in truth." How is this love, divine love, to be practiced? Well, it's to be practiced in deed, in how we act, not in the words that we say, not in the "I love you, brother," but to be practiced in deed, in how we act towards one another. This is where the sacrificial giving comes into play. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at 1 Peter 1 since we're right over here. 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll go to Romans chapter 12. But 1 Peter 1, in verse 22, says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, But note that that unfeigned love of the brethren is through the Spirit. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Here's the second way that this love is to be practiced, not only in our deed and how we act, but also with unfeigned love. It means without hypocrisy. It means with purity. That's how we're to practice this love towards one another. Listen, not for what I can gain. You know, I love you, or I'll give to you for what I can gain, or I'll come across a certain way because of this is how it'll make me appear. It'll give me a good appearance. No. Unfeigned, pure love of the brethren, without hypocrisy. Not to your face, I'll love you, and then I'm different towards you in private. You ever known somebody like that? They come across as all nice, and they come across as sweet. They'll say the right things when you look at them in the face, and then you hear through the grapevine, you know, from someone else what this person actually said about you as soon as you walked away or as soon as they got home. That's not godly love. Love that the Holy Spirit of God produces, God's love, is unfeigned. It's without hypocrisy. It's not fake. It's pure. And it's fervent. And it's not out of what I can gain or how it's going to make me look. It has nothing to do with whether or not this person likes me or approves of me. They could be one who despitefully uses me. But I'm going to love them through the Spirit of God as long as I'm yielded to the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 15. Here's another example of how this love is to be practiced indeed without hypocrisy. And verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 12 says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Here's an example of how this love is to be practiced. It's more and more. The apostle said, the more I abundantly love you, and the more that I give, and the more that I am spent for you, the less I be loved. More and more is how our love is supposed to be practiced, growing. You know what? Some people are really hard to love. That wasn't reflected in me, was it? I'm kidding you, brother. Some people are hard to love, especially when none is given in return. Amen? Look at Philippians chapter 1. But our love is to increase. Our love is to grow more and more. Philippians 1 and verse 9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." That this love towards the brethren, he's speaking to the church at Philippi, that their love would grow and abound more and more. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3 in verse 12. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you." This love that is to be growing and abounding, listen, it ought to be reflected in a church body, in a church family. You know what? A church, the longer it's together, and the more that they serve God together, and the more that they grow in spiritual life, and in the measure of the fullness of Christ, the more that there ought to be love one for another. The more that the hearts of the people ought to be knit together in love. Hey, it's easy to love people who love you. To give to people who you know love you. It's a lot harder to give of self to people who despitefully use you or who hate you. But see, the neat thing about the love of God, at least in a church family especially, it can't keep on that way. The thing about the love of God is that it begins to change. It begins to change your own thinking, and it begins to affect and change other people's lives as well. We're to love indeed and without hypocrisy more and more. And also, look at John chapter 15. Well, we're here. Before we do that, let's look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. His love is completed in us. So the Bible says here, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected or completed in us. And here we find, you can flip over to John chapter 15, we're to love like our Heavenly Father loves. Indeed, without hypocrisy, growing more and more, and like Christ, like our Heavenly Father. In John chapter 15, I want you to look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. What is Jesus' love? As the Father had loved Him, as Christ has loved us, the command is for us to continue in His love. To love like Christ. Unselfish. Sacrificial. Giving. You know, as natural men, we love whatever is going to give us pleasure or delight. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46, "For if you love them which love you, what reward hath you? Do not even the publicans the same?" And so Jesus is saying, listen, you know, you love them that love you. Hey, that doesn't separate you. That doesn't set you apart. Even the publicans do that. You know, loving your family and those that love you, that doesn't set you apart. But loving your enemy, well, that's a different story. And that takes the Holy Spirit of God. Those without Christ as their Savior, you know what? They love for what it might benefit them. But a Spirit-filled Christian loves like Jesus Christ, and it's a one-way kind of love, not expecting anything in return. Is it important that we love one another? Absolutely. Not only are we commanded to, but listen, this is also how people are going to understand God the best, when they see our love for the brethren. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." John 13, verse 35 is what I just quoted to you. The point is, you know what? There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, and there's nothing that should keep us from loving others like Christ. The one thing that will keep us from loving like God expects and God commands is living in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. How does Christian character look, this example of Christian character practically look? Well, it's love for one another. It's sacrificial giving. It's selflessness, following the example of the Lord Himself. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to produce that in the life. Walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? To bite and to devour one another. Amen? When we walk in the Spirit, we'll have divine concern for others. It's a good good, practical thing for everyday living. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that gives us such clear instruction. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be quick to apply these principles in our life, to even examine what is love. Well, it's fulfilling the law of God toward other people. It's sacrificial giving. It's selflessness. It's divine concern for others. So much more than concern for ourselves. Father, I pray that you'd help us as your people to examine even areas of our life where maybe we're not demonstrating that Christ-like love. We're not yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, and this fruit is not being produced in our life. And Lord, maybe we would be quick to confess it, to forsake it, that we might draw closer together one with another for God's glory, for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.